You're listening to the More Time, More Profit podcast, the best place for entrepreneurs who are looking to grow past the startup phase of their business, but still need to learn how to free up more time to drive more profit. Now, to present these real strategies, your successful business coaches and hosts, Adam John and Grant Muriel.
Welcome to More Time, More Profit, episode number 12. Today's show is titled Creating Million Dollar Processes. My name is Adam John, and as always, I'm joined by Mr. Grant Merrill. What's going on, Grant?
Not much, mate. It's been a bit of a quiet week for me, where it's just down in the trenches. I actually had a good weekend just getting away and catching up with a few mates of mine. But one thing is, I'm actually a little bit concerned, as I've got a couple of meetings coming up where the audience are kind of the best in the business. They're on quite a pretty penny pay packet, and I'm just a little bit uncertain about myself as I'm going in. I'm just trying to research about the audience, trying to evaluate their experience in industries, whilst I'm also double-checking what I'm presenting. So I think the trick to this one is going to be more preparation, and practice. But at the moment, I'm just a little bit concerned.
Is that because you're coming into their industry and not as well seasoned, and that they've been doing it for a long time, or what's the nervousness about?
Correct. So it's the nervousness is just, more of their industry, as well as the level of these guys, as well as their experience, where some of them have got 30, 40 years experience in an industry that I don't have that much experience, and they're looking to me to try and drive them and sort of teach them as an expert. So it's just that kind of David and Goliath concept where I know I can add value, just making sure that I do add value.
Oh, sign a man up, put the helmet on and start shooting, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's right. I'll be getting the sweats on that day. What about you, buddy?
I was just thinking about how nice it is to have a podcast. I get asked a lot of the same questions every week, and now I can just refer them to the podcast. So, you know, I get all these messages. Like the other day, I'm just getting out of bed at 7 o'clock in the morning and someone's asking me how long I used to spend in the office when I was in my business. And it's clear I can tell who's listening to the podcast and who's not out of my friends, because if they were listening to the podcast, they probably wouldn't be asking some of these questions. So if someone asks me, you know, sometimes you just keep repeating yourself, and you and I like to give as much value to our networks as possible, but now it's nice to just go reference episode 2 for this and episode 3 for this. And if you have any questions, then we can start our conversation from there and not waste too much of my time.
Yeah, there's a starting point that has been met. It's kind of like that you must be this tall to ride this ride.
Exactly, but I know who's not listening. I know who should be listening. The people in our networks that, I've called a couple out this week, so we'll see if they get this.
No. All right, I'll start doing the same.
Yeah, beautiful. We'll make a list up to say.
Don't be on the list.
Yeah, it's our most wanted list to say that we're onto you guys. Don't let these guys in here. So today we're talking about creating million-dollar processes. And look, let's be honest, this is your Super Bowl, this is Christmas, everything all at once for you, because you are the business process master.
Yeah, there is a reason I own businessprocess.com.
Exactly. So I'm going to try and keep this episode, I'm going to try and keep you under 7 hours in this episode, and we'll jump through it. So we'll jump in. And what is a business process? A business process is a step-by-step training guide for a task or activity. It could be a screen capture or a Word document with screenshots. And if you think of a recipe that you've ever followed, this is actually a process. So it just guides you through. This is what we want to deliver, and this is how we get through the steps, and it makes it really simple. So if you look at my favorite example, which is McDonald's, I love McDonald's processing. If you think about it as a business, they're probably one of the largest businesses in the world. They hire students. It's often the student's first job. They live at home with their parents, and they've often got no cooking ability at all. It's available in every country. And if you think about it, it's probably some of the most incompetent people that you could have in your business. Now, when we go out and we hire, we like to have people with previous experience. These guys don't, because they pay such a low wage. They need people to come in, and they need to be fully trainable. People that come in have no training experience at all. They have no cooking ability at all. They've probably never ever made a hamburger. And yet we're going to trust them with the reins of our multi-billion dollar company. Many years ago, the founders of McDonald's made the actual hamburgers. So they were sat there in their one little McDonald's restaurant, and they would have made the hamburgers themselves. They would have ordered the produce. They would have cooked it. They would have delivered it. They would have served it on the counter and everything along these lines. And it's just not scalable as a business owner to be able to do that. So in order to be able to expand their business, they needed a way to be able to train their new staff effectively in different countries with different languages and produce a consistent result or hamburger that is the same the world over. You could imagine how many problems McDonald's would have if the owners didn't process. How can you have thousands of McDonald's across the world with just the two owners cooking hamburgers? service, you can't do it. If the owners didn't process, they didn't deliver a consistent result, and they kept cooking all the hamburgers themselves rather than concentrating on the growth of the company. So what we're talking about is create the business process for the hamburger. I'm going to go off and I'm going to create the franchise model for the world, and this is how we're going to go move forward as a company.
Yeah, and too right. I think McDonald's is such a good example on the basis of the skill set of people that you have. So as you pinpointed out, you've got people who have no prior knowledge. You're not hiring the best chefs. You're not hiring the best people at customer service. You're not hiring the best people who can manage others, right? And they just work them up internally. It's not like they're going out for these experts. So it is the best example on the basis of simplicity. Anybody needs to be able to follow a process with a McDonald's to actually hit their KPIs, such as turning around a hamburger in 2 minutes, such as being able to ensure that every customer has a positive experience. I just want to mention that I think if anyone's actually looking to get a little bit of a deeper insight into this franchising concept of processes, go and read The E-Myth Revisited. It's probably one of the best books, and it walks deliberately through exactly how McDonald's does this. So everything you're mentioning is exactly correct.
Beautiful. And your business is no real different to McDonald's. If you spend the time doing menial tasks that you shouldn't be doing, you won't be able to grow. In a nutshell, processing helps you deliver consistency, a quality outcome. It provides seamless training so someone can come in so you can sit them at a desk and just give them a menu and they can sit there and do it themselves without you having to sit down there for 2, 3, 4 hours and train them yourself. And it frees up a lot of time for you. In this episode, we'll show you how to create your own million-dollar processes.
Yeah, so look, processes are very daunting, or they can seem very daunting. Again, I've done this for 6 years and now it's probably one of the simplest things that I do day to day. If you do have any questions or you are looking for any feedback to some of the situations that you've come across, do leave us a message after the show or even during the show by jumping onto our Facebook page or our website at www.moretimeatmoreprofit.com. And yeah, just ask us any questions that's relevant to the problems that you're currently having.
Beautiful. So can you take us through the steps in creating a million-dollar process?
All right. So this is, as I mentioned, it's going to be a tough topic to most people, but there's 6 core points that, Adam, you and I have worked through on all of our More Time, More Profit processes. And there's 6 of them in a very short, concise manner. First one is, what do you process? Second one is, what's the purpose of the process? The third one is, describe the deliverables or outcome. The fourth is, screen record yourself doing it for scalability purposes. The fifth one is, creating the step-by-step process or guide that people will be replicating. And the sixth one is, review and delegate. So you don't create a process for yourself to do consistently. You might, but typically it's for scalability. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run through each part sort of and departmentalize it for everyone to understand it in a little bit more detail. Point one, which is, what do we process? Adam, you and I and the More Time, More Profit podcast in episode 001, our first episode that came out, which was Be a Role Model, Not a Superhero, actually broke down how to figure out what you should be processing next. So if you haven't listened to it, go back there and listen to the episode to really get an understanding of how to pull out the next process you should be creating. The crux of it is you need to review the tasks that are repeated the most in your business and usually take up the most of your time, right? So this usually starts off with tasks that require a very low technical ability behind them. You don't need the sous chef to go and be mixing the rice, for example. Point two is, you write the purpose. So what is the reason for the task? So why are you going to get someone to do it? And what's the benefit it's going to have to the business? You can think of this as the context of the task. So purpose, context, whatever is most applicable to yourself. Telling someone to just write content for your website without a purpose can just mean a lot of different things. Could be because you're doing a research paper. It could be to get leads. It could be to get traffic. It could be for SEO. It could be for a lot of things. So by putting a purpose to it, helps narrow it down. Examples are, we're going to create a report that will be sent to a client, which means it has to be of a high quality. It's not just an internal report. We're going to track tasks that are being done day to day. So we're not focused about client-facing quality. We're only caring about the data. Third part is, describe the deliverable and the outcome. So once the process is complete, what items will there be to show for it? So the deliverables are the tangible outcomes, meaning that something is given to someone or is put somewhere, right? So an example of this is, the client report has an emailed 2-page A4 PDF that's sent out. So the tangible is the email as well as a two-page report. So there's actually two deliverables to that. Could be looking at having a local council awaiting approval on your permit request. That is a tangible deliverable. So I've delivered that to them. Point four, so once we've figured out what we're processing, we've also figured out the purpose for it. We also know what's going to be delivered. So the next part is being able to scale it. We screen record yourself doing it, or if it's a physical action like manufacturing, you can actually record yourself doing the manufacturing. So the easiest way to do this is to use your phone for video or on your computer. Jump onto screencast-o-matic.com. We'll put that in the show notes for you. Plug in your headphones and actually walk through and narrate yourself doing the process. So you need to narrate yourself because you have to tell and explain to somebody else who's listening to it what you're doing and why you're doing it. Probably the number one thing that I've learned is every time you do a next step, you always say verbally, next step, or step three, step four, step five, so they can follow it through themselves, because later you're going to get them to create the process for it. And also quickly to explain why you did something a particular way or why you aren't going to do something another way. Just helps give them a reason why what they're thinking is actually not the right way. Second last point, which is point five. This is, if applicable to yourself, I always suggest that most people do this, but sometimes it might not be applicable, where you create the step-by-step process document. So you're going to turn the video into a documented guide for future updates and references. The reason we're going to do it in a document is it's very easy for us to change it when it's required instead of doing another 30-minute video recording every single time something changes. Typically, people start off with Word, which is perfect. You can also use Excel to help create guides. You go and take the screenshots from the video that you've recorded so someone doesn't need to do it again just to create the process. And this is very important, as parts of your process are going to be automated, they're going to be improved, they're going to be tweaked, they're going to be removed. Having a document is very easy to actually go in there and make a change to something that might have been a little bit incorrect rather than doing video editing or anything like that.
And one thing to notice there is I've had to follow processes before and they've done screen captures and maybe the interface has changed or they've updated the features. So you bring in a new staff member and you're trying to learn this, it can be really frustrating if all the menus aren't where they're supposed to be. In a perfect world, you turn these screen recordings into a Word document. And if it seems a little bit overwhelming at first, you can just stick to the video, but it's a great first step. So we have over 300 training documents in our company, which allows us to train the staff easily, ensure quality output, consistency, and frees up more time for us.
And that's exactly right. And I think that's critical, is by having a process, anyone could change the design of Word or of Chrome or Safari or anything, and we could easily just go in there, change 10, 20, 30 images per document, and we're already up to date and running without doing anything else. And the last point is probably the most important, which is your review and your delegate. So no matter who created the process, even if it was yourself, get someone else to review it, it must be done. There are standards the business has to hit. There's also interpretation that your team's going to have on that. You can't just write a perfect document one for one. As processes are created in order to get other people to do our tasks, we're then going to delegate it once we've approved it. Delegation is the simple part, is basically telling them how often they have to deliver that process. It might be daily, it might be weekly, it might be on the 15th of every single month, etc. So we then delegate it and make them responsible for delivering that process. Look, I just wanted to reiterate that these six steps are more of a guideline. You can tweak them based on your business, based on your requirements, based on your environment, etc. But they are the core fundamentals to basically go from nothing to something with processes.
That is awesome, mate. And if you want to reference anything in today's show, go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com. That is for episode number 12.
We'll be right back after a message from our sponsors on the More Time, More Profit podcast.
Hey, Adam, buddy boy. Look, I've heard you guys consistently mention leveraging outsourced staff, and I'm definitely keen to try it out. And I know More Time, More Profit has over 20 years' experience in outsourcing and 8 years' experience living in the Philippines. And so you are the guys to ask. So, can you point me in the right direction with regards to filling some full-time positions in my company?
Yeah, you are correct, and I do get this a lot. What real problems are you trying to solve?
Let me tell you. Well, I need to grow my team to cater to the ever-growing client base that we have. I also want cheap staff to drive better profit. And most importantly, I need people who already have a great skill set so that I can get some of my most important time back.
Okay, so outsourcing is cheaper and it allows you to scale very quickly. It covers jobs like web design, administration, development, writing, finance and bookkeeping, marketing, social media and SEO, just to name a few. But have you thought about the potential problems with your staff?
Mate, sounds like everything I need. But you mentioned other potential problems? Like what?
Let's consider your IP walking out the door. What about data security? And what about the reliability of your staff?
Hells no, man. But now that you mention it, what about fast internet, payroll, benefits, employment contracts, etc.?
Don't worry about it, buddy. Have I got a solution for you?
All right, let me have it.
Look, as you're a trusted listener to the show, I'm happy to introduce you into our network. We partner with the fastest growing outsource agency in the Philippines, and their security is better than Fort Knox. They're the only company I trust to look after my network, and they'll give you the same Red Cartman VIP treatment that they give to us.
Nice. But honestly, I'm a bit worried about signing up and just getting dumped with some individual or even someone else's rubbish.
Once again, don't worry about it. There's no problems. You get as many interviews as you want to find the right person to fit the right role for you. You can hire someone from as little as 20 hours a week. And if you inquire today, More Time, More Profit will cover the first week for free. Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA to find out more.
No way, the first week free. But honestly, I'm a bit of a nervous Nelly and I'm still concerned is there going to be across the other side of the world.
Look, don't worry about it. For yourself and anyone else in our network, the More Time, More Profit office is located in the same city as our partner. If there are any issues that need escalation, we're more than happy to go in and represent you.
Wowza, you'd actually use your team to help me out if I really need it? You do have faith in their ability. Look, what is that website address again?
Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA and get started today.
Thanks, man. I'm going to jump onto it now.
Back to the show, the More Time, More Profit podcast.
All right, everyone, welcome back. Look, let's just jump straight into it. And Adam, give us a bit of an experience of when you've created a million-dollar process.
Yeah, well, I stumbled on business processing about 4 years ago, and I hadn't really done them before, and I wasn't really sure about the power of them. And I think listening from today's show, you'll be able to unlock a little bit of that power. But ultimately, once I put it all in place, it allowed me to cut down a 15-hour day into a 2-hour day, which is pretty awesome. I just want to take you through a bit of a story which I'm coming up with, and we create processes on a daily basis, that I'll be going through in the next week. And I'm going to walk you through the 6-step process framework on how I'm going to deliver that. If we look at point one, what is a process? So we talk about episode 001. And what I want to do is I'm actually editing the podcast at the moment. Grant and I, we sit down, we do the recording, and I'm actually responsible for going and doing post-production. So we sit down there, I do it in Audacity, I use software called Orphonic, and then I upload them to Amazon S3 servers. What I want to do is I want someone else to take that responsibility off me. In point one, I want the production, and I want them to do the uploading. And this generally takes me about 2 to 3 hours a week. Okay, not a big deal, but if you look at 52 weeks in a year, that's 156 hours per year that I'm spending on doing this task that someone else could be doing. What is 156 hours per year? That's 1 week off. That's 9 holes of golf every Wednesday afternoon. That's 3 gym sessions a week. It's more time with my friends and loved ones. Or it's 3 hours to concentrate on the growth of the company and things that matter within the company. So I'd like to free up that time, and that's why I'm going to actually do this process and get someone else to do the post-production on our podcast.
I think that's critical of understanding what the opportunity cost on it as well is, like breaking it down to actually finding out what you're missing out on. Just by doing something that seems so simple, or you might even enjoy it, is critical to actually be able to say, no, that's not what I should be doing. It's not where my value is added.
Yeah, and the other thing is if I bill myself out, say, $1,000 an hour for business coaching, then it takes me $50 for someone else to do it, then that's a no-brainer as well. So the actual opportunity of that, you know, $3,000 a week is lost as well, which is really important.
Exactly.
Step number two is write the purpose. And the purpose for me is post-production and uploading of the podcast. Very simple. Point number three, describe the deliverable or the outcome. I'm going to provide a screen recording, and I'm also going to provide them links and passwords for the software. So I'm not just going to send them a screen recording, and then they're going to come back to me and say, well, can you give me the passwords for this, or I need this, or I don't have this document. So I'm going to make sure I send all the information through them. Point number four is going to actually be a screen record of me actually sitting down and doing the editing. And I'm going to go through this process anyway when I'm editing this actual episode. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put my headset on. I'm going to start screen recording and I'm going to start explaining what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Okay, we highlight this section here. We want to cut this out. This is where the advertisement is located. This is where the filters for this is located. I cough in this episode. This is how you edit out a cough, essentially. So I'm going to sit down there and give them the step-by-step instructions on how to actually do the editing, essentially as if they're sitting at my desk digitally, and I can take them through all of that.
Exactly. And now you've told everyone all the secret that we're not perfect at speaking English.
Yeah, and what? Cough here, cough that. It's actually through the
Don't
magic.
Don't delete them out.
It's actually through the magic, the process that we'll be going through. Step number five. What I'm going to do, because I'm super lazy, right? I get there and I could sit down there and I could take screen grabs of everything that I'm doing. I like to use the video and then just send the video to someone else to create the Word document. We talked about if the software changes over time, then essentially the process is no good if it's just a video. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn that into a Word document that can be updated, the images or the text at any time, rather than me have to sit down and record a video every time it's done. So I can get a freelancer to do that. I can get a junior to do that. I can get a virtual assistant to do that, which is most preferably. Remember, this is a document and it's easily updatable. For you guys out there, you know that we deal with virtual assistants. If you want to grab a virtual assistant to be able to do some of this is a great way to dip your toe into the water through outsourcing as well, doing that. Point number six is review and delegate. So once that document comes back to me, what I'll do is I'll miss a few things when I'm doing it. So I can put annotations over the top when I'm actually producing the screen record, and I'll say I missed this, and I'll just put a little text bubble that pops up. Once it comes back to me from the VA, we'll actually just run the eyes over it, make sure it's fine, just to make sure that the Word document's up to scratch, and just to make sure that that hamburger is tasty and tastes the same the world over. And really, that's all it is.
The guy at McDonald's dipping his finger in my Big Mac just to make sure it tastes good.
Everything. Exactly. But we talk about we're going for quality. We're going for consistency across it.
Exactly. And I think the great thing about having a process, just to finish that point off, is that now that it's completely documented and you have the quality guidelines of what your company's after, your customers are going to consistently get the same outcome over and over and over again, no, as long as everyone delivers to the process, right? And that's what management's for, is just always make sure that people are delivering to it, which means that our podcast will always be delivered exactly the same quality as long as you and I have followed our setup process and our recording process. And that the editors set up and followed the editing process and the publishing process, meaning that every single person listening to us gets exactly the same audio quality no matter what.
Yeah, and we all have staff members that are sick, you know. Some staff members just go completely missing, right? So if we can get that process and we can give this a complete newbie, like a recipe, someone who doesn't know how to cook, and they can come in and just deliver it, that can save your butt a lot of time.
Exactly.
All right. Well, here's the thing, mate. You've got a lot of examples in your lifetime. Mr. Business Process himself. Can you give us a time when you implemented a $1 million process in one of your businesses?
It actually took me a while. So just so everyone knows,
I'm so scared.
I've created my previous business. We had over 600 process documents. So I was sitting there looking through a lot of them going, okay, which one am I going to walk through, etc. But I actually decided to go with one that we created quite recently. Basically, yeah, it's something, because you've talked about the marketing function, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit more about the client-facing process. We used to have a process that we did four different types of the process for about five projects for each team member per week. So it was probably done about 25 times a week across five people, right? So it was something that we consistently invested quite a bit of money into, having delivered successfully over and over. When I was creating this process and working with the team to create it, my first point, which was what to process. So I knew that every week we were doing the same checks over and over again. We were checking clients' project management reports as well as their projects. So basically from that, we noticed that every team member was doing them differently. So we knew they were all doing them, but the outcomes were consistently inconsistent. Each team member had a different interpretation of the value of what they were doing. So there had to be some kind of standardized way of how we were doing these checks each week based on making sure that we can get the consistent outcome that we're after. And so that was just this need that rose straight to the top, just because I knew how much time we were investing into this for clients. But I also knew that the value that it had, because we could find issues within the system before anyone else found issues.
Yeah, and if I'm out there and I'm a client and I'm getting a report and it looks different every single week, then it makes me really hard to compare it to the week before and things like that. It just makes me think, do these guys really know what they're doing? So that consistency is really key.
Exactly. And it just screams that someone else has done it, someone who doesn't know me, who doesn't know my account, etc. Where if it's always the same time, you don't know if it's coming from someone else or where it's going from.
Perfect.
So the second point was running the process. So at first, checks was to actually validate that the clients were using the system and ensuring that everything that was set up was going correctly, so there was no bugs or issues. But basically, when we started writing the purpose, we could actually add more quality to the same process and without adding much more work. So the purpose is to ensure the client was using the system, which we always did. It was also to ensure that everything was set up and was creating no errors, which is what it always did. But we also found out that by doing exactly the same steps, we could actually check to see if the clients were updating everything they needed to update or actually missing data that they needed to put into the system each week. As well as from that, we could easily create a template and just notify the lead at the client side to actually say, hey, look, out of these 5, 10, 20 projects, here are some that are just behind a little bit with the data, and this is where the data is. And so a little bit of effort has actually created so much more value to the clients from it. So we wrote out all of the above purposes, and that was the reasoning behind why we're doing the process. And just by creating the process or even walking through this framework, we knew how we could basically double the value of the same task that everybody was doing day in, day out. Moving forward, so we've written our purpose, so we now need to outline the deliverables. There are a couple of requirements that the process is going to be meeting. We wanted to show the management team that the team members were doing the task, and we also wanted to provide an actual email and report to the client to ensure that they have something to deliver. So we evaluated what needed to be delivered once the process was complete. Looking at that, when we took the 10,000 foot view, we wanted a completion document to be uploaded within Google Drive with the date of the check, the results of the check, etc. for management, as well as any errors or issues that were found were sent straight across to either management or straight across to the development team. And those are some outcomes. As well as an email template was provided to send to the client based on issues or anything that team has seen. As well as this must be done across all of the projects that a client has. So clients can add new projects and it has a quality value of that to always deliver to every project within it. It also showed every team member the expectation that had to be delivered from them. Fourth point is screen recording yourself. Now, I didn't do this step as it was as much an exploration for myself. I knew how to do it. I knew what I wanted. However, I wanted to try and find out if there's anything more that I could add. The decision to me was to actually just sit in there and step through it myself and actually just make some notes whilst working through it without recording my screen. And then I just created an Excel document with some points from it and just moved to step five. Step five is creating the step-by-step document. Because I didn't do the screen record, I actually jumped in there and started doing the notes myself and the step-by-step guide myself. Now, I did it very quick, bullet-pointed because I could quickly articulate and outline where I wanted people to go and what I wanted them to do and why. And then I got the other guys to put in screenshots. I got them to put in process steps, the styling, and any notes that had to be explained in a little bit more detail. Even though I didn't do a screen record, I still walked through the top level process for them because I had to help explore it. And then it probably took me approximately about an hour to explore through it. And then the other guys just cleaned it up behind me and maybe spent an hour or 2 hours building it out.
Yeah, and this is probably one of the things that stops a lot of people from actually creating processes is that let's assume it takes me 3 hours to do a edit for a podcast and upload everything and do the ID3 tags and everything along those lines. It might actually take me 4 hours to come up with a process because I'll start and stop. I'll take notes of things I've missed and it'll probably take a little bit more time. But over the 52 weeks that are coming up, I will save a lot of time. Whenever I'm in a hurry, I know we're busy business owners and the phone's ringing and everything's just going on. I don't have time. I'll just get in there and do it myself. This is what we're talking about. Just take the time, take an extra 15, 20% of your time, sit down, do the recordings or do the screenshots. And then you never have to actually do it again once it's been handed off to someone else.
Exactly. It's like the monkey leaves the room. So from there, I just reviewed it. So even though I had written it, I still wanted to make sure that someone else reviewed it. Sat down with one of the team members who had never really seen the process before and just said, hey, you've done this kind of task. Can you walk through this and explain to me how you're walking through it? So that created some updates and tweaks that we implemented straight away based on some confusion and not correct wording. And after that, I sent it to every single support team member. It became a requirement that they had to deliver every single week. And so it was a tweak, so it was a couple of times a week. Interestingly enough, since then, so we found out that we can actually give a lot of this data to the account managers who are on the ground face-to-face with our clients. Instead of just sending it straight to the client, we send it to the account manager and it builds us even more rapport. From the process, we've also been able to remove parts that the clients haven't cared about. And finally, we're actually looking to automate the whole system. Because it's all documented, it's so easy for us just to get a developer to go in and automate. It's almost going to be 70% of the whole process. Just by having it documented means that we can systemize and improve our business to also save money and make it an even better outcome.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I just keep thinking about me cooking with my mother when I'm going through all of this, because she'll be sitting down there and I'll say, how do you cook this? This tastes really good. I really want to cook this when I'm away from you. And she'll, just put a pinch of salt in here and just do this. And it's all in the head, right? So nothing's ever, I'll write it out for you. So essentially that's just processing it out for me. The easy to follow instructions that I can do when she's not around. Let's assume she's away on holiday, she's in hospital, and I still want to be able to produce that meal. I need a way to be able to do that, and the business process through the form of a recipe is a great way to do that. If you think about it, when you're in your business, if you're away, you're at a conference, you want to take a holiday, you've got other things to do, and there's all these other little tasks that you shouldn't be doing or you hate doing that can be done by other people, just make sure you create that little recipe for them and you'll see how much time can be freed up in your daily life.
Yeah, correct. It's one of those things that it just adds so much value, but it just seems like such a mountain of Everest in front of you, but it's actually quite
easy. It does seem like a drag when you're sitting down there and you're really under the pump. Oh, I've only got an hour today and it's going to take me an hour and a half to process. I'm just going to do it. And then next week, next Tuesday, you get to the same day. You're just like, I've only got an hour. I need an hour and a half. And then you're like, man, by the third week, you're like, I would never have to do this again, but yet I'm still sitting down investing this hour because I didn't take that extra half hour when I should have.
Exactly. Yeah, and I couldn't agree more.
Cool. So we've come to the end of this. Do you just want to take us through the six-step framework to create million-dollar processes and we'll wrap this puppy up?
Yeah, it would be my pleasure. So point one, figure out what you got to process, tasks that are consistently repeated or they take up the most time. Just refer back to More Time, More Profit episode 001. Point two is write the purpose. So what is the reason for the task? So why are you actually getting someone to do it and what's the benefit? What benefit does it add to the business? Point three is describe the deliverable or the outcome. So once the process is complete, what tangible item will they have to show for it or at least provide to somebody else? Step four is screen record yourself doing it or record yourself doing it. So narrate yourself walking through the task, outlining the what, the why, the how you're doing it, etc. via audio. Point five, if it's applicable, is create the step-by-step process document. Turn the video into a documented guide for future updates and references in order to easily change when required. Don't do this yourself. Try and get, as Adam was saying, get a VA or one of the guys off Upwork or Freelancer to go and help you with it, or jump onto moretimemoreprofit.com/VA. And point six, review and delegate. So no matter who has created the process, always review it, even if it was yourself, and ensure that it always meets your standards and then give it across to whoever needs to do that day-to-day or week to week or month to month.
Yeah, and I want to throw a bit of a challenge out to our listeners out there. I just want you to just pick one little task and just create one little process, because once you get into processing, it's highly addictive when you can see what can be leveraged out of it. I would actually love for someone to just make a commitment to themselves to go out and just one task that you do every week that can be done by someone else, just process it out and just see how you go. And if you want any notes from today's show, go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com for episode number 12.
That's right. And look, don't forget to download the template. We've outlined exactly what we've talked about today in an easy-to-download format, as well as refer to any other points that we've mentioned in this, so working through our worksheets and running through them at your own pace to go and implement them within your own business.
I think we actually have an example of a process in there, which is really awesome as well. And go check out show 001, and that'll teach you how to identify jobs that you shouldn't be doing that you can process out.
Too easy. Thank you, everyone. Don't forget to jump onto iTunes, subscribe. You got a lot to do. So jump onto iTunes, subscribe, click on the podcast, and enter your review. We love hearing your feedback.
Absolutely. And that's it from us. We'll catch you the same bat time, same bat channel next week.
Thanks, guys.
You've just been listening to More Time, More Profit podcast. For more info, check out moretimemoreprofit.com. Make sure to tune in at the same time next week for another dose of real-life business strategies.